Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com. Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Right. Press the button.
Hello, Egg Chasers. It's the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast, the podcast about rugby that doesn't take itself or the game too seriously. And we're here in the rugby dungeon to digest the final warm-up game for the Lions in South Africa and build up to a test series. It's here. It's here. It's days away. How are you feeling about that?
The Stormers game has put another dampener on my on my Lions fever. It went from fever pitch to, you know, a little bit meh. Because these, who are these games games helping? On the other hand, I am quite excited to see the real South Africa team come out to play. I'm more excited about seeing South Africa than I am seeing the Lions.
Yeah, I think you're right. Seeing that the Stormers game, which Stormers did well for most of the game. It was only the last 20 when the Lions scored almost half their points. But seeing that, again, empty stadium. I know they're all going to be empty stadiums, but that doesn't help a 49-3 win doesn't help.
Yeah.
But then on the other side, did you see the Bulls versus South Africa A?
Yeah. Unbelievable.
That was a hell of a... And like, the Bulls, that meant a lot to them, obviously, because they are basically competing against people who've been selected above them.
Yeah.
Which is a hell of an incentive to prove you're better than your opposite man.
Yeah, that's a remarkable result, particularly considering the standard of the provincial teams has been so poor. And is this not the Bulls that just lost to Treviso?
Well, I was going to say, so the Lions lost to South Africa A. Mm-hmm. South Africa A lost to the Bulls. The Bulls lost to Benetton, which means that Benetton are better than the Lions.
Dean Ryan lost it coming into play again.
But unfortunately, because Benetton also lost to every other team in the Pro 14 last season, it means that the Dragons are better than the Lions. It means that Cardiff are better than the Lions.
Dragons are de facto world champions, is what you're saying.
Zebre are better than the Lions. The whole shooting match, everyone is better than the Lions.
Thank you very much for listening, by the way. I didn't do the intro properly, but that's fine. We're just cracking, just jumping straight into it. Sometimes we can ramble too much, can't we?
So sometimes, occasionally.
Occasionally. But sometimes the rambling's the best bit, I think. But I'll tell you what I have got. I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago. That I, when I was having a clear out of my loft and all those memory box bollocks that you keep hold of, but then sort of chuck away later, years later, going, I haven't looked at that for the last 20 years, and send it to the tip. I found a July 1997 issue of Rugby World. And so this is when the Lions were in South Africa in that famous Lions tour before the documentary came out. And some of the bits in it are really interesting, not least the opening comments section. Let me just read you a little bit of this. This is from the editor of Rugby World 24 years ago.
Yeah.
They said, Lions, an endangered species? There have been times over the past 6 months when covering rugby union has been about as exciting as covering local council meetings.
What?
Sound familiar?
Yeah.
Well, we had a bit of a local council meeting for Rory earlier this year, didn't we?
Yeah.
Read them and understand them.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, yeah. Yeah, that was more interesting.
That was more interesting. The interminable squabbling has begun to wear thin on even the most committed of us. This could have been written this year.
Yeah. Have they changed their style since 97?
Happily.
Did they go to rugby journalism school and learn these blueprints? Like, yeah, they're handed at the very start templates of what they've got to write, and they just, I don't know, go on, come on, please.
No, it's cool. Happily, those dire moments are balanced by moments like this, when suddenly the sun comes out and it's a delight once again to be involved in rugby union. The reason for the sudden change in climate is undoubtedly that mystical, wonderful establishment called the Lions. The tours epitomise everything that makes rugby great. Camaraderie, teamwork, leadership and passion. Lions today feel as strongly about their place in history as Lions in any era. Talk to Jason Leonard about the British Lions and you'll hear the same words as you heard from Willie John McBride. Different accent maybe, but exactly the same sentiments. The players representing us in South Africa are the thread that binds the past of the sport with its future. To win a Lions cap is still the epitome of a player's career. So how can we protect and develop the Lions during these changing times and further affirm their role in rugby culture? Ian McGeachan has... It goes on. Ian McGeachan has suggested playing Lions tests on home ground.
Wow.
They could, some feel this would devalue the Lions, ruining their uniqueness. I just read bits of that and thought...
Isn't it remarkable?
Nothing's changed.
Yeah, literally nothing.
Yeah. It could have been written this year.
Although...
Do you know, that would have been much better. You should have read us that as if someone's written that today.
Today.
And
see
if we had actually guessed.
I didn't think of that. Here is an example of how things have changed, however, in 24 years. Because there's an article about Rupert Moon and Mick Skinner having a day out at the Swalec final in Cardiff.
So they're on the beers at the final.
They're on the beers and they're just documenting their day on the beers in Cardiff.
Awesome.
So it goes through the pubs that they... Awesome.
Well, come on, then read it.
No, I won't read it all. But
in case you want to pick up your copy of 1997 Rugby World.
Yeah, so they talk about the pubs they go to. The first beer they had was £1.90, a pint of Hancock's.
Well, Hancock's?
At the Crest Hotel at 11 a.m.
Awesome.
To prepare for the onslaught of the day ahead. Anyway...
£1.90 a pint.
Moving on. Here we go. Here's a quote. The top flange from Cardiff Rugby Club, Vicky Holly and Tina Chew.
Jesus Christ!
Yes.
What?
I'm quoting it.
What?
I'm not endorsing, I'm quoting. Had been massive when it came to passes for the private bars in Cardiff Rugby Club, and they even made me an honorary member for the day. So I'm just, Vicky Holly, could that be a relation of Sean?
Don't know. Oh, maybe.
Yeah. Same way. Yeah.
And then I'll jump over to the next page where he says, hold on. There was another bit where he used the same word.
Oh my God.
I can't.
Imagine writing that now.
Okay. After a while, I broke away from the players to visit the infamous trophy room, the holiest of holies. I bowled in here like a bull in a china shop and grabbed another gaggle of flange for a photo.
Oh my God.
That's the photo.
That's the photo, yeah.
So, of course,
wow.
So something.
So, just according to according to Urban Dictionary, a flange is another word used to describe
plumbing.
Female genitalia.
Correct. It's also plumbing, and it's also a sound effect. Like if you have a sound you can put on like music to make it go.
Ah.
Almost like a plane landing or going past, and that's called a flange as well.
Is it really?
I don't think that's the meaning Mick Skinner meant by that, but anyway.
Well, I mean, what other meaning would it... okay.
Yeah. He was inspecting the plumbing at Cardiff Rugby Club.
And he grabbed some more plumbing for a photo.
Wow.
That's astonishing.
So there you go.
Good stuff.
That's 1997 in a nutshell. and as I mentioned previously, Tom Smith has an article about his fitness regime in which he recommends doing three sets of eight reps of 55 kilogram upright row.
Big lift.
Big lift.
No. Tom Flange. Yeah, Tom Flange. I'm sorry, Tim. I've got flange on the brain. Tom Smith came up in Jeff Probyn's article in the Rugby Paper last week, where he was... So I think this is quite an interesting point. And he was looking back to the tour, 1997 Lions tour, and particularly the front row, and saying that it's Paul Wallace and Tom Smith,
yeah,
not
right.
Tom Flange, Tom Smith, as two short and small props who had quite a lot of success against South Africa.
A lot of success.
Oh, good point.
And Probyn's point was basically South African front rows, they are used to playing guys who are like them, who are 6'3" plus, 19 stone plus, and when they come against a smaller prop with more technique than size, they... can sometimes struggle.
That is interesting, and it's sort of it's a slightly different point, but it's along the same lines. This sounds like a horrible name drop, but I watched the game with Greg Laidlaw.
Oh yeah, how is Greg?
He's lovely.
Is he an egg chaser? Is he a proper egg chaser?
Thoroughly nice guy. Because
obviously he's big mates with Big Jim.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. So you're gonna have to work out which is his favourite podcast.
It'll be one of us by the end of the series. Of course I'm watching the whole Lions series with him. We're gonna make some memories. But no, he's brilliant. He couldn't be more generous with his time with all the fans that were in the pub stuff. So anyway, he's a great guy. But he said one of the hardest players he's ever played with is Cornell Dupree, who was a South African number 8.
Yeah.
Ended up playing for Scotland.
Yes.
He said that Cornell Dupree was that people didn't even watch him play. They said of Cornell Dupree. They looked at his stats and went, no, not big enough. And it was, I think, Razzie Erasmus has sort of evolved.
Yeah.
But a few years ago, that was basically it. It was, if you weren't a certain height, certain weight,
CJ Stander. Told he had to play hooker if he's going to play in South Africa.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah,
it's such a difficult one because there are small players who are brilliant. Harry Thacker is brilliant. Cornell Dupree, very good player. In fact, did he not end up in Worcester?
Sam Simmons.
Sam Simmons. There's another one, right? So there's some absolutely phenomenal smaller blokes out there. On the other hand, South Africa just won a World Cup with... That said, they have got an army of very annoying midgets, haven't they? Who kind of strut around and really get into people's face, knowing they've got the backing of their enormous mates.
Yeah, someone like Faf. But even their hooker option, so Malcolm Marks is enormous, but Dweeber... And
he was big.
He's not that tall.
No, he's true.
Short and
right.
Squat. Scout Brits, who was the third choice hooker on the tour,
and not a huge man.
Bongi Mbonambi, I think he's only about 5'9". He's not an enormous specimen. I mean, Malcolm Marks is. We saw him in the flesh in Monaco.
Yes, we did.
And Rassi Erasmus picked quite enormous. A Smith, to be fair, so So you know, he has clearly evolved it, but that's that tallies. What you were saying tallies with what Greg Laidlaw said.
How do I not know the name of the most dangerous attacking player in the world?
Chesney Colby.
You've got Faf.
Yeah.
There's one other one who's...
Speckman's not a big bloke.
They really get into people's faces.
Because he's very slight.
Yeah. Because they've got massive men behind them.
Yeah.
Massive men.
Yeah. Apiqui Diante, who we interviewed before his drugs ban, we interviewed in Monaco.
Oh, Christ, I forgot about him.
He's not an enormous bloke.
Oh, no, that's such a shame, isn't it?
I know, he's picking up World Player of the Year 2018, and then a few months later, he's basically out of the game.
So hang on, we didn't get to Monaco last year because,
It was COVID. The year before the World Rugby Awards
was in Japan.
So I hope he's nearly done with his ban.
I think he might be.
I hope we're nearly back to going to Monaco.
Well,
more pressingly.
More to the point, yes.
Yeah.
Have you got? Anyway, we don't need to find out about the drug ban just yet.
First story. Fresh twist in doping case of disgrace Springbok, Apiqui Diante.
He was genuinely one of the most impressive young men that I've ever interviewed.
Yeah.
He was incredible.
He was on an incredible run of form, obviously, to get World Junior Player of the Year or whatever it was, the Young Player of the Year. And he was so nice. He was such like a charming, like humble and charming.
Yeah. I was having a conversation with someone this week about the humility of South African rugby players, and Sia Khaleesi, another person we interviewed that day, who was 100% like that, one of the biggest names in the game. Cheslin Kolbe is 100 million% like that. And I wonder if, in order to find an individual that could be on the front of, say, a video game, someone who could maybe transcend the sport and become the poster boy for rugby, you'd sort of think, on skill set alone, Cheslin Kolbe could be that guy. He's that exciting to watch. But... He's so humble that I don't think he has that in his locker to be someone that's bigger than the sport.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For me, it's Etzebeth. Etzebeth gets on the cover of... It should be on every cover of everything, shouldn't it?
Just his biceps.
Just
topless,
What is that?
Or Itoji.
Or Itoji,
He's so marketable.
Well, those would be the two.
Well, Marcus Smith, potentially, in the years to come.
Yeah, yes. Marcus Smith with that hair as well.
The money man. Money man.
I don't know how you could recreate that hair in a physical engine for a computer game.
I was going to say, couldn't
do it.
They've been doing it in manga for years.
That's a good point. Did you guys enjoy what was on display for us this weekend?
Eventually.
I actually enjoyed the Stormers game earlier on because it was more of an arm wrestle.
You're absolutely right. That was probably of all of the provincial games they've played, that was one where you got the sense that this, of what they always talk about, that this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for these guys to play the Lions, and they're so fired up and they're so committed to, you know, trying to take their place in history or leave a little marker down of their own. And I felt like the Stormers really, really gave it a good crack for 25 minutes.
Yeah, I think that's probably fair.
Yeah, half an hour or so.
So, Lions tours of old. I remember the first Lions tour that I watched. Okay, it wasn't the 97, it was the 2001.
2001, right, cool.
Yeah, that was the first one which I really remember. Yeah.
With Bod was there, Jason Robinson was there,
that's
Healy,
the one.
Greenwood.
And they played like the President's 15.
Oh, Justin Harrison stealing the line out in the last minute.
Was that the one with the Ronan O'Gara incident with Duncan
McRae? Yep,
yeah.
It certainly was.
God, that.
Duncan McRae, that was the Waratahs game. There was Australia A.
Aussie team, like Joe Roth, was that era?
George
Smith played
Matt
in
Burke.
It, didn't he?
George Smith did play in it.
Because he played again in 2013.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, that was it. The reason I bring up that tour is because I thought at the time the strategy of the Australians was to put out teams every week to wear the Lions down by attrition. And then when they got to the Wallabies, then it'd be on. Because some of the teams that they were putting... I mean, do you remember Graham Bond, who then ended up in Sale?
Sale, yeah.
He was a phenomenal player. Pat Howard was playing against them. These, like, Manny Edmonds was the absolute scourge of the Lions for, I think, two games. And that seems to be the strategy. Now, I don't know if it's because of COVID and lack of availability or what.
Yeah.
But it's almost as if the strategy for the South Africans is to put out the worst possible team, or not the worst possible team, I don't want to be disrespectful, but teams that are not up to scratch, so when the Lions do finally see the Springboks, they're going to be horribly undercooked.
Well, so there's two things. In previous tours, South Africa would have had a lot more of their South African players playing natively rather than all around the world, as they have now. That's first point. Second point, Razzy Erasmus, out of necessity because of COVID, as you mentioned, has got a squad of nearly 50 players.
Yeah.
Who can't be sent back to their provincial sides.
They're locked in the bubble.
Tough, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is tough.
It is. But if you look back to like 2017 and the Lions against New Zealand,
they got beaten a couple of times.
Yeah,
didn't they?
Yeah. They were some serious games because the New Zealand provincial teams are almost test match standard anyway.
Yeah,
like whether they've got that, when you go to Canterbury, in the last few years, basically all of the other teams, I think pretty much all of the other teams have won it. Chiefs won Super Rugby, Crusaders have won it almost every year, Hurricanes have won it, Highlanders won it, and then did Blues win Super Rugby this year? So, but they're all.
Yes, he did.
They're all a phenomenally high standard.
Yeah, they are. They are, and they seem to be the cutting edge of coaching strategy too.
Yes, absolutely. So yeah, I'm just looking back. The Lions lost to the Highlanders, narrowly beat the Crusaders, lost to the Blues, drew with the Hurricanes 31-0. I mean, that is pretty brutal.
That's where they need to be. That's why they managed to get a series draw.
Yes, because they were steel sharp and steel.
Yes. Whereas we just don't have that ability. Right, is Marcus Smith going to start a test?
No.
Come on, get on the hype train, Tim.
So you would have seen the Gatland reaction to that question, and what I took of that was he didn't say no, but he was like, his reaction said, that's a bit ridiculous, he's been with us 5 days, he's had one training session.
That's enough, isn't it?
It might be for Marcus Smith. He then stepped away from that a little bit and then said, well, I'll be considering everyone, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But I think it's unlikely.
And I think you've got to... You can't get carried away with the last 20 minutes when Stormers... Mm. When it was like sevens rugby.
You
can't get carried away with that because that was... Marcus Smith looked incredible in that. And also, you can't criticise him for the fact that he looked a little bit like he hadn't really played with Robbie Henshaw before for the first half an hour. Yeah. Funnily enough, they met about a day before.
Yeah.
Incredible, isn't it?
And I was thinking about that early on in the game, that Marcus Smith is such a unique player. Like he has tricks in his locker that Finn Russell also has, but those are two unique players. They are not the same player. It's not take one out and the other one just fits into the system. there are so many little hint, little shows and go, little tells that Marcus Smith will give off. But it would take years of playing with him to actually learn about your position in his movement and all the rest of it.
Am I going insane in thinking that Marcus Smith can do almost everything that Finn Russell can do, and almost everything that Owen Farrell can do, and almost everything that George Ford can do? Maybe he's not. Maybe he doesn't match him at the very top end of what they do well.
There are some things which only he can do.
Yeah, and he can
do pretty much everything.
Isn't that his special talent, that he can do everything really well?
His goal kicking looks as good as Farrell or Biggers.
And when his acceleration.
Yeah.
I mean, again, it's the Stormers, it's towards the end of the game, but still, it's just rapid. Everything he does seems to be perfect.
He looked to the manor ball, and there's no doubt about that, but will he start a test or even be on the bench? Not without at least one injury.
I tell you what, though, when he gives that ball to Rhys Summit, there's a real glimpse into the future there.
Yeah,
I mean, that is
the next Lions tour.
Yeah, of all things rugby, right there.
And they should just—that's exactly what he and Rhys Summit should just soak up every bit of learning. Take their learnings.
What a stupid saying! Such a stupid saying.
Take their learnings for 4 years' time.
Absolutely. Speaking of amazing mercurial tens. Did you see Johan Usen's performance for, not for the South Africa, for the Bulls? He basically won the game for the Bulls.
So I saw that he was playing, and I assumed he was playing for South Africa A.
No, Elton Yantjies was playing for South Africa A.
Yeah, because he was captain.
So, yeah, but Usen just looks...
Did he put down the form ledger?
Yeah, he did. I mean, I was thinking about this as well. Like he's 29, he's similar age to Farrell or Bowden Barrett. He's that era.
Yeah.
He has not achieved anything near what those two have achieved.
Well, we don't know what's in his bank account, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, and this was my question. So he has probably, let's just put Owen Farrell's multiple houses and South African farmland to one side.
Who owns more farmland?
Well,
him.
which would you have done? JB, I was going to ask, because I know, Tim, your answer would be you would have given yourself a shot to win Six Nations and World Cups and all the rest of it.
Two or three. European and Premiership titles, Six Nations, World Cup final.
Yeah.
Oh, 100%.
Because it's my view, right, that the salary is one thing.
Yeah.
Usen has made a lot of euros.
A lot of money.
Although, retiring for 2 years, who's picking up that bill? Did he do it off his own back, or was he paid by Racing?
By
Racing, by Montpellier.
I think there might have been an Altrad Industries payment towards that one.
Yeah, so... Oh, so although salary is great, I think the real money is, as Tim points out, it's European Cups, it's Premierships, it's Six Nations or Internationals, because when the salary dries up and you've still won nothing, nobody wants to know who you are.
Yeah, and you can't do after-dinner speaking.
No, I mean... Maybe
Owen Farrell do after-dinner speaking?
No.
I don't think he'd be interested in doing that. I think he'd love to be a coach.
I think he'd go into coaching.
But he can do whatever he wants.
He can, yeah. Because even if he doesn't want to do after dinner speaking, people would pay him 10 grand just to turn up and tell a few boring stories.
He can be a brand ambassador. I think he's probably got a job in Saracens for life, so he doesn't need to worry. But I wonder how his career would look if he retired for 2 years for a large payday.
And then went to France for an enormous payday, but did nothing, won nothing, did nothing.
It's not too immediately obvious that he could go back to Saracens and become a coach or do whatever he wanted.
I've mentioned this saying before. I don't believe it's as binary as this, but it is Anthony Wilson, the Manchester legend, founder of the Hacienda. And all of Joy Division, Happy Mondays and all that. He said, you can make money or history. And he said that after New Order's song Blue Monday became the biggest selling 12-inch vinyl ever. It still is the biggest selling vinyl record of all time.
Is it?
And they made a loss on every single copy.
Why?
Because the artwork was by Peter Saville and it was so expensive that they made a small loss on every single sale. So the more they sold, the bigger the more they lost.
What?
That does just seem ridiculous, doesn't
it? That's so music. Wow.
I'll tell you what is so music. Have you ever watched Nathan Barley?
No.
Oh, JB, watch Nathan Barley. It'll be on YouTube, but it was a Channel 4 show years ago, back in the late 90s, early noughties, I think. And it was just a total piss take of like Shoreditch hipster music.
Brilliant. Oh, yeah.
I mean,
and it just that popped into my head because someone pointed it out to me that there is a new restaurant which has got a sign up in Shoreditch and it's opening and it's called Egg Slut.
Oh my god.
Which is straight off Nathan Barley.
Perfect.
Watch that show, you'll love it.
Oh, is it a parody of a parody?
You'll love it.
Wonderful stuff.
You'll love it.
Do you know the story about the 20 stories mural?
20 stories mural.
So the 20 stories, the rooftop bar in Spinning Fields, Manchester.
Yeah, so in Manchester we have a bar. And this bar is owned by a bloke. I think he's Indonesian. I think there's some sort of Indonesian backer behind it. I know.
Okay.
But the idea is, they own bars, but they don't want to own bars, they want to own statements. So it is the bar in Manchester. Mm. So I think they own German Gymnasium in...
King's Cross, St. Pancras.
So they've got all of these, like, real high-end locations. I think that's the thing. So 20 Stories is on the 19th floor, right? So, I don't know if this is actually true, but in my mind, it looks like a little bit of retrospective stuff. So they changed the name from 20 Stories, because it's on 19 Stories, and they've now called it 20 Stories, spelt as in storytelling. So it's not stories as in
floors.
And they commissioned this painting, and it is the worst painting you've ever seen. It has the 20 people that each of the stories is allegedly about. So presumably when they realised they were on the 19th story, they had to... 19 stories doesn't sound particularly good. Let's go around and find, like, 20 stories. This mural is so bad, they had it up for about a day. It got rinsed by the Manchester Evening News, and it's gone missing now. Nobody knows where it is. In fact, I'll get it for you now. Have you got it?
I think so. Is this the one?
The mural.
That one.
Yeah, it's incredible. It's absolutely incredible.
Oh, although... God. The Manchester Evening News are complaining because there's only three women on the list.
Oh, fuck.
There's a great review of it somewhere. Anyway, we digress. What were we talking about?
Rugby.
Apparently. We should return to the rugby.
Anyway. Yeah, so Goosen did well.
Yeah.
Yeah, a few lovely touches, lovely breaks.
He plays for the Bulls now.
So, yeah, this is an interesting thing. So he's back in South Africa. So obviously he was Racing and then Montpellier with a stint in Bloemfontein Farm in between. But yeah, he's back at the Bulls, age 29, and he will not be getting Racing or Montpellier money at the Bulls.
He certainly will not.
So yeah, that's an interesting move.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, there's still time for him to earn some titles and World Cups and stuff. He's clearly a very talented guy.
If I was in charge of a Premiership team, I think I'd be giving Mr. Usen a call. And I think I'd be giving a Pee Wee Deancey a call as well.
Yes, yeah. Maybe read that article about the fresh twist in his...
Yeah, just bring that up before we sign this. Just read that.
So me and Phil gave us our thought. Do you think Marcus Smith will get anywhere near... short of injuries happening, do you think he'll get a test cap?
No.
Yeah, not unless there is injuries.
Yeah.
Because, I just can't see it.
I mean, I'd like him to. Would I do it? I'd put him on the bench, I think.
If they lose the first two and it's a sort of dead rubber third, he might be out on the bench for the final test.
Yeah, it's possible. But
this first test is massive. And it still hasn't been confirmed, has it, that whether they're all being played in Cape Town or whether they're going back to Johannesburg for the second
two? No idea.
So my understanding was it would be Cape Town then back to Joburg, but everything on this... I mean, the South Africa A didn't know they were playing the Bulls until the day before.
No.
Did they not?
No.
No.
Stormers and RSA A on Wednesday and Saturday, that could have been should have been the other way round. Everything's just been switched around. They should have played the Bulls. Lions should have played the Bulls when they played the Sharks the second time.
That's right.
So it's all up in the air.
The sort of messages coming out of the Lions are we expect them to all be in Cape Town. Obviously, they'd be happy with that at sea level. Well, it was a bit slippery that time of the evening, hot, humid. It was quite...
Yeah.
They found the conditions a bit difficult, I felt. But South Africa, it's still being written down. After the first test in Cape Town, they will return to Johannesburg.
Mm.
There we go then. That is what will be happening.
Well, we don't know, because this whole week has been a bit of the last week has been a bit of a standoff between Rassie Erasmus and Warren Gatland. The mind games have been going. Razzie sort of saying, oh, I'm sure Warren would want us to be match fit. We'll play again this weekend. Warren wouldn't want us to come in undercooked. He knows how important this series is. So, and then Warren, no, we're playing the Bulls.
Yes, good. So that's it now. The Lions have got no more tests. Sorry, no more warm-ups. It's straight into the tests.
Correct. Yeah, so for like 13, 14 guys in that squad that probably, possibly played their last game, or for a large number of them. And that's going to this is going to be the point at which splinters could start to come in the group.
I would not be surprised if the return of Alan Wynne could be fractious, because people have put their name forward to have a test start, and if he takes their place, well, he has to, because he was the he's not even the tour captain, but he just has to, doesn't he? He has to play.
He is back as being tour captain.
Gatland
confirmed that.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. Although he did say that Conor Murray wasn't giving up the captain's suite in the hotel.
Good for him. Good for him.
I think that's fair.
Yeah.
I don't know how. I don't think that's a wise decision. You have to play your captain.
Yeah. So Gatland was specifically asked this in one of the press conferences, and he said, "Well, he's tour captain, but we'll have to see who gets picked for the game."
Yeah. All right. Did anyone determine my comments on Alan Wynne-Jones last week as Alan Wynne, as basically saying Alan Wynne-Jones is doing this for the glory, or in a selfish way?
No,
not in a selfish way.
I took it as you meant he was saying, "Oh, if I have a bit of a long-term issue, or
doesn't matter, does it?
I have to struggle for a couple of years with my shoulder, I'll grin and bear it because this is the Lions and this is my last chance."
Someone accused me of dull thinking because I made out that Alan Wynne was doing it for, you know, for selfish reasons. What an idiot. Anyway, do you even listen?
That wasn't my interpretation of it.
No,
it's my interpretation was it's a trade-off, and Alan Wynne will trade off potential long-term damage for the opportunity to play.
I'm not sure he's the right man to start a test. That is,
he looked good enough in coming off the bench to me.
I'm also not sure, and I think there's like every other second row. It's an interesting one because there are two slots available, or arguably 2/3 slots available. But every other second row who's played has looked great.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, absolutely. Burn,
Hill and Adam Beard coming in late into the
tour. Johnny Hill and Adam Beard were great yesterday. Hendo's been brilliant. Courtney Laws has been one of the best players on tour.
Yeah, I think it's arguable that Alan Wynne-Jones hasn't actually done enough because he's only played 8 minutes plus whatever it was, 16 minutes.
It's an interesting shout that's really fascinating because obviously. Maybe the people that have been on tour with him in past tours. Well, no, maybe not even that. No, you're right. Now I'm thinking about it. If I were one of those second rows, you're wired to be competitive, and I don't care that he's had, 150 caps.
Yeah.
I don't care. I'm like, no, it's my shirt. I've earned this.
Yeah.
So he's come back in.
That's interesting, actually.
Second row to me is the most important selection of the Lions. The more I think about it, the more important it becomes. So the Lions, if they're going to match South Africa for physicality, that's one pairing, isn't it? I think Johnny Hill and Adam Beard look like that pairing. Because
I think you have to have one. I don't think he'll have both.
Agreed. But I don't think they should do that. I don't think trying to beat Etzebeth at being Etzebeth is a wise decision. That would be my thought. But I do love how Adam Beard's.
Marrow's going to be your loose headlock. So you're picking a tight headlock, aren't you? Which puts it down to Alan Wynne, Hendo, Johnny Hill, Adam Beard.
But then, if you want to
but Courtney, I think, could go there as well.
Exactly. So if you want to run the South Africans around a bit, but you don't want to compromise on your size, you want the athleticism, you go Courtney and you go Maro.
But one of them could go to six.
Yeah.
You could say that about Byrne, though, because Byrne is athletic. He does the loose stuff. He does the tight stuff. He jumps in the line out.
I wonder if I'm being too harsh here. Do you think he's... No, you can't really... Not... Is he... Does he have that edge that you need? I don't know why I think of him as a nice player. Is it because he offloads and stuff?
He's niggly. He's such a menace. He's so hard at the breakdown as well.
Yeah.
He puts his body in some really horrible positions.
But he's not the Tom Curry type who sort of grabs shirts and,
I think he's got a lot of, like, that Munster pack is...
That's a good point, actually.
...is not a nice pack.
Do you know why I think that? I think it's because he came from Scarlets, and I do think Scarlets are a soft team.
No, he has got all the skills. Like, he reads the game incredibly well. He pops up with really intelligent running lines, and like you say, he times his turnovers so that superbly, so he has an impact.
So here's a question, because I was thinking about this whole thing before. What I want to do is go through 1 to 15... and see how many players we think are nailed on. Okay. And by nailed on, what I mean is all three of us think that Gatland would pick them. So this is not who we would pick. Mm-hmm. This is who we think Gatland is going to pick.
Relatively few.
Yeah, I'm actually with you. So if we start at number one...
No, it's not nailed on.
I don't think it's nailed on. No. I think it could be all three of them. I think any one of Sutherland, Wyn Jones, Fitness Dependent, or Mako could start.
And same goes for Hooker, although I think the two English guys are probably slightly above.
I think Jamie George is his man. Just because
I think you're right, but Luke Cowan-Dickie's game yesterday and across the tour, and you could see him starting Luke LCD.
I don't think coaches trust Luke Cowan-Dickie. I just, even Exeter, for a long time he came off the bench for Jack Yendall. Lancaster's not started it. Not Lancaster. Eddie Jones has not started him.
Well, Eddie Jones, I think he's been the number one in the Six Nations this year. I think he started most of the games in the Six Nations.
Right.
So I think LCD is most likely, but I don't think it's nailed on.
Yeah. I definitely not.
I would not be surprised to see.
Sighthead is the easiest to pick.
I agree. Furlong, I can't Furlong, see.
No one else is getting played.
Agreed. So Furlong goes on my sheet.
To the point that when Furlong was still on after 65, 70 minutes yesterday, I was thinking, well, if I was Ty Furlong, I'd be like, get me the hell off.
Yeah, let's have a rest. Second row?
No idea.
It's
Marrow. It has to be Alan Wynne-Jones, isn't it?
Marrow is starting.
So I think Marrow is definitely starting at four or six.
Yeah.
Whichever one's tighthead.
I don't know what position.
He hasn't played any six in this tour, I'd say he's Marrow, nailed on in the lock.
And I don't think that Alan Wynne-Jones is nailed on. I think he was, had he not got injured, but I actually don't think he is
nailed
on.
I think that's fair. So we've got Ty Furlong and Marrow.
Marrow.
Back row.
I think Curry is nailed on.
I think Curry's nailed on.
In six or eight, yeah, and I think Faletau is nailed on.
So
I disagree on Faletau.
Do you?
There's no other eight.
Conan's played well.
See, here's where the back row, where I just wonder, as you pointed out, Ty Burns has been outstanding on this tour, as has Courtney Laws, two options at six.
Yeah.
Tom Curry was immense against South Africa A.
Yeah.
And has been immense since he started playing senior rugby.
Since he was 18.
He is starting.
Curry's definitely starting.
Hamish Watson's been so good that I wouldn't rule out Byrne, Watson, Curry being your back row. I wouldn't rule it out. I'm not saying I think that's the way Gatland would go.
Because
he loves to Lupe Faletau, and Jack Conan's been a great ball carrier. But I think it could happen. It's conceivable that could happen.
And so, if it does happen, so
and Faletau hasn't been as good as he has been.
Yeah. If you don't have an out and out eight, and Faletau is Faletau and Conan Simmons, Faletau is probably ahead of the pack. But then, if you don't have an out-and-out eight, your second best option is to go with two sevens.
Faletau's only your eight on reputation, not on this tour.
That's exactly what I mean.
Yeah.
So, you put, like Australia went with Pooper, that sort of thing. You either stick Tom Curry at eight, or even stick Hamish Watson at eight. I mean, he's industrious enough.
And you could potentially have the confidence to do that when you look at South Africa, who don't have a nailed-on eight, and they're not totally sure who their best number eight is. Is it going to be Visa? Is it going to be Smith? Is it going to be someone else?
Three. It could be. Dan Dupree's not played, has he?
No.
I don't know.
So John Luke played for the South Africa yesterday, but Dan Dupree I don't think has played because he was too busy partying in student halls.
Good lad.
Was my read of this.
Or he didn't play for South Africa because...
He's going to play for South Africa.
Because he's going to play for South Africa.
Possibly.
And he is the best Dupree. I mean, there's a lot of good Duprees and he's the best of them.
The way that I read that South Africa A team on the Wednesday against the Lions was... That was basically the starting team of those who have not had positive COVID tests or have to isolate.
Okay.
It could be that Dan Dupree had a positive test.
And 10 days from a first test, had he not played, Rusty would have played him, even if he thought he's going to be my number eight in the test match. So all I'm saying is I think Gatland could have the confidence to maybe do it because Tom Curry's not a totally unknown quantity at eight.
Nope. That's fine because there is enough doubt. What I wanted to do was say all three of us have to be certain that those players are. So Faletau, there is
enough
doubt.
Of a question mark. I think he'll pick Murray at scrum half, but Price is the form nine.
Yeah, but I think he will pick Murray.
Imagine if he doesn't pick Murray or Alan Wynne.
That would be interesting.
Do you think Murray is nailed on?
I think he will start. I am confident that Gatland will start.
Yeah,
and I think Ali Price is, you're right, he is the form player, but he's he's such a good player to have coming off the bench that he suits the style. So I think Murray will start.
I think I agree with you, and I'm happy to put Murray down as nailed on. There is a slight alarm bell ringing in that I don't think you beat South Africa. I think Ali Price might be the kind of player that is the way you beat South Africa, but
you can
Warren Gatland knows what he's doing.
He does, and you can use him for 20 minutes or 30 minutes at the end.
Yeah, that's fair.
When things open up a bit more.
It's absolutely fair.
So, yeah, 10. Okay.
Dan Bigger.
I don't think it's nailed on. You can't call Bigger nailed on. I think he will go Bigger, but I don't think you can say nailed on.
Yeah, I don't think it's nailed on. I'm kind of like 60 Bigger, 40 Farrell.
I'm fairly confident that it's going to be Bigger. Mm. I don't think it's going to be Farrell. I don't think he's played quite well enough.
Mm.
But Bigger's the form guy. Form guy, and you know, he's got reputation.
He's Gatland's guy.
Having looked back at stuff, when that game when Finn Russell and Owen Farrell played together, the attack was absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
It was really good.
No, Finn's back for the third test.
Yeah, it could be... Because it was an Achilles tweak, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So they were keeping hold of him, managing him.
We all agreed that it's not Marcus Smith.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's not nailed on, but we're probably coming down on the side of Gatland picking Bigger.
Yeah, but Bigger's not going on my sheet to join the four guys, Furlong, Marrow, Curry, Murray.
Outside of second row, I think the hardest positions to pick are the two centres. I have zero idea.
Yeah.
Zero.
It could go anyway. It could go Farrell and Daly. It could go Farrell and Henshaw. It could go Aki and Henshaw. It could go Chris Harris and Aki. Like, it could just be...
It could go Aki Daly. It could go Henshaw Daly. You could have any combination.
Yeah. The most likely...
Aki Daly would be cool.
Most likely in my mind is probably Farrell Henshaw or Henshaw Daly.
Hang on. I do think Henshaw is the best centre that we've got.
But again, on reputation.
Yeah, yeah. He's only played a handful of minutes because he played this weekend for the first time in...
But I mean, I agree with you. You're right.
I think he's the best,
I agree.
Do you know who I can't understand why they're not there? Jonathan Davis. Like, he's still absolutely class.
At 13, he's not as good as Henshaw or Chris Harris.
I don't know. He's pretty damn good.
Well, Wales are moving him inside to 12 now.
That is true.
Well, mainly because they don't have any 12s.
No. Anyway, we digress. Henshaw. So maybe Henshaw starts, but I don't know what shirt he's in.
I agree with Phil that the two likeliest options are Farrell Henshaw or Henshaw Daly.
Yes.
And I think I would come down on Henshaw Daly.
So I think on that, I might put Henshaw as nailed on. Because are saying he will... I think he will start fitness allowing. You think he will start fitness allowing. JB, you say he is the best. The best centre. So Henshaw is in. Okay, back three.
Adams, Adams is nailed on.
I'm not sure he is.
He is. He has a lot. Lions test winner written all over him.
I think Hogg is nailed on.
I disagree with
I'm not sure on that one.
I think I would select him, but I don't think it's nailed on. I think Liam Williams in that South Africa A game didn't really make any mistakes, and Hogg has unbelievable upside. He tried maybe a little too hard yesterday at times, but I would select
Jack Hull. Jack Hull's a better fullback. We know this. We've seen it.
I think I would come down on the side of selecting Hogg, but I don't think you can rule out Williams. I think Anthony Watson and Josh Adams and Stuart Hogg is probably going to be the back three, but I don't think any... I think Josh Adams is the most nailed on of those three.
I think Hogg is most nailed on. I actually think Watson is probably second most.
Yeah, he's...
But then it's Doohan, because Doohan
has played phenomenally well.
Because he offers such a physical threat going forward. And
if you just judge it on this tour, Doohan and Adams would be the starters. All you judged on that is what you do.
Anthony Watson was awesome against the Springbok A side.
But he can also play fullback.
He can. So I don't... The only player I think is nailed on in the back three is Hogg. But there's no consensus.
No.
No, I'm not sure about Hogg.
Okay, so none of the back three are nailed on.
No.
I don't think so. No. So we have five players that we all think are going to start.
That's Furlong,
Marrow, Curry. And Marrow and Curry could be in any position. Murray at 9, and then Henshaw at 12 or 13. Fitness allowing.
But it'd be embarrassing if all these guys don't start. That'd be a massive, massive shock. And also shows that we know nothing about rugby.
Let's come to... there's three of us, so we can quickly rattle through with a consensus. Let's pick the other 10 jerseys as we would select them. So
okay.
We know, as far as we can know, that Gatland's going to pick those five. As of the other 10, Loosehead?
Wynn Jones
for me, after that Springbok A performance.
Providing he's fit. Yeah. Because he took a knock.
He did.
Yeah. The other day, and I agree. Fitness allowing.
And Rory Sutherland has been great, but the last couple of games, Mako's looked ace.
It's one of the strongest positions, and yeah, you think
he's one of the most even.
Oh yeah, but you think about the two guys, or at least two of the guys who aren't there in Joe Marler and Keane Healy, and either of those could step in and do a very tidy job as well.
Mako and Sinclair off the bench is some impact.
Yeah, it is.
And maybe Luke Cowan Dickey off the bench, all in one go.
Well, Hooker, would you go? I'd probably go easy. I mean, I would. I thought Jamie George before, after seeing Luke Cowan Dickey yesterday, I'd be tempted to start him.
I really think he's an outstanding player, but my doubts are more around why isn't he always picked by every coach? And I don't know why that really is. So that's my only niggling doubt. I would, just based on what I see from him, I love the guy. I'd start him.
Do you start LCD?
Yeah.
I don't mind.
Ken Owens is... Obviously...
I don't mind. I think I might go... that Jamie George-Marrow connection.
Yeah.
I'll go with that.
One of the most important connections in rugby.
Your line-out caller and your hooker. Yeah. So on the strength of that, let's go Jamie George.
Okay.
Who partners Marrow?
I think it'll be Alan Wynn.
I'd go Adam Beard. Although, do you pick a guy... because he can disrupt the team, or do you pick him because he should add something to your team?
I think Adam Beard has shown he can do both, actually.
He's been brilliant.
He's been great.
Taking away South Africans more.
I really like Johnny Hill as well.
It'd be brilliant.
I really like Johnny Hill.
I'm an enormous Johnny Hill fan. Enormous Johnny Hill fan.
I was really looking forward to seeing this. And I still don't think it's 100% nailed on Alan Wynn, but I think that is the most likely.
Yeah.
Ultimately, you can't fly a guy like that out, can you? Unless you intend to use him, I would.
The first test is so important, and either that means we can't take a chance on a guy who's not had much rugby, because his club season finished before everyone else's as well.
Yep.
Or you go, the first test is so important, we can't leave the most capped rugby player of all time out.
Yeah, and
Jesus Christ,
if he's fit enough to be in the squad, he starts as well, because he can't come off the bench and get injured.
Yeah.
So, I think Alan Wynn will start.
Yeah, I agree. Back row then.
Back row. So we got Curry nailed on. I think Faletau is the most likely. You're right, it's not 100% nailed on.
I think it'll probably most likely be Byrne and Faletau. I would, for what it's worth, select Byrne at six. Or Laws at six. I'd be quite happy with that, actually. And Curry at eight, Watson at seven.
Laws, Curry, Faletau.
I think Laws, Curry, Faletau.
All right, put it down.
And then I think Byrne...
Ty Blair's been so good.
Yeah,
but so is Big Courts. Big Courts has been awesome.
Yeah.
And if you want someone, because one of the things in that South Africa A game was the Lions were just getting stopped on the gain line time and time again. If you want someone to do that to the Springboks, you want Big Courts.
Here's the thing, right? The way Byrne plays, he does strike me as a guy who would be better as a starter. I don't think coming off the bench is a thing for him. I can see Courtney Laws coming off the bench. And I can't see Sinclair coming off the bench. I can see Mako coming off the bench and just start writing people off, absolutely ruining people.
Yeah.
So that makes me quite excited. And Byrne...
people, if you're listening, you'll know we've got a huge soft spot for friend of the pod, Courtney Laws, and he hasn't got a test jersey yet.
He has?
Oh, no, of course he has. Of course he has. No, he hasn't started a test.
Has he not?
No, I don't think so. I don't believe he did.
I think he has, but we'll look into that.
Yeah.
So I guess it comes down to...
Maybe he did.
Who would have more impact off the bench, Byrne or Laws? And Watson.
Thing is, what type of game do you want to play? Do you want someone to go and write off a load of South Africans and smash them?
Yes.
Or do you want someone that can do that? I want to remind you, Courtney Laws, one of the things he's really evolved in his game is his ball carrying and his handling. Yeah. It's really good.
So...
But I think Byrne offers a breakdown threat and a running threat in wider channels that Courtney doesn't.
Exactly. And then, go on.
Big Courts hasn't started a test.
Oh, there you
go. He's played two tests. He played the second and third test against New Zealand in 2017, but didn't start either of them, came off the bench.
So I do think that this might come down to who can you keep up your sleeves to make an impact? Hamish Watson would be a wonderful player to bring off the bench.
Or equally Sam Simmons,
yep.
When there's tired bodies.
And then what Byrne and Laws give you are the options between second row and back row too, off the bench.
Hmm.
So there's all sorts of things to consider. Why not Byrne? The class of Curry means that Byrne couldn't be seven. But he could be seven.
He could be, but Curry is definitely playing. So
yeah,
Curry will be playing. Curry will be playing six if Hamish Watson starts, or seven if anyone else
this
starts.
Is it. So again, I think you're selecting Faletau on reputation, and he is a world-class player when he's on form. And in big games, he tends to step up.
He
is a big game player. So I'm totally happy to put him there. But picking on form, as I say, I go Curry, Byrne, Curry, Watson. And then your bench has really good balance as well, because you'd have Laws and Faletau on your bench.
Faletau on the bench.
That's quite good.
That is awesome.
That's quite nice. Yeah, I can see that as well.
Whereas when you pick Faletau to start, the bench suddenly go, I don't know, Watson, is he like sort of, I suppose he would potentially speed the game up. I don't know. But then if you're actually going, oh, we need some big bodies there, and you're throwing on Hamish Watson, I don't know. It feels like it's not quite as balanced or versatile, bench and starting side. But
he'll be all right.
Yeah.
He'll go off the bench and be fine. He is a little bit, yeah, I know what you mean. He does give you flexibility.
That said, no one ever tackles Hamish Watson first tackle.
No one.
Yeah.
He's unbelievably strong.
Apparently he's a very good tourist too.
That doesn't surprise me.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've got our pack that we think it is. So we went in the end with, because JB
except
and I...
Except for the bench. That's what I'm saying.
Let's
the bench. So we've got the front row bench, that's fine. It's
so we got so
Mako, LCD, Sinclair, an all English replacement.
And then it's either Laws or Byrne again on the bench.
Laws or Byrne. Well, which did we select? Laws, so Byrne on the bench, and then which back row on the bench?
For me, Watson.
Watson.
So I think he'll go Byrne as his back row option, and I think he'll go for Johnny Hill to add some ballast if he needs to.
Yes, I can see that as well.
And especially, and if you've got...
Oh, we're not. Did we pick Adam Beard in the end?
We picked Alan Wynne-Jones and Marrow.
Yeah, so I think... I think Beard has to play as well.
Beard,
no, he Beard, has to play.
Is Beard or Hill?
Beard has to play. Would you go for 6-2?
What about Hendo? Hendo's never got a test cap. Poor Hendo.
And Hendo's...
He's someone I feel sorry for as well. He must have been going, oh, yeah, it's great that the captain's back.
And Hendo had...
Yay.
He was arguably... In the run-up to the tests in 2017, he was the form second row
and tour. This is the thing. You really needed some hard, nasty games to prove your worth on this tour, and that's what they've not had. So it's like when you say to him, we're picking on reputation. I think largely we are.
Because running in 70 points against the Sharks B team.
I think that's fair. So I'm going to go, based on what we've selected... So is it going to be Hill, Beard, or Hendo on the bench?
Oh, maybe Hendo. Now you've mentioned him.
Let's go Hendo.
Beard has to go. I think Beard has to play. If they're giving you hell in the malls, which is what they'll intend to do.
Which is what they will do.
Beard's your only option at that point.
I'm going to go Hendo.
Hendo, yeah, I'm with you now.
You've been outvoted.
Hendo in the second row.
I'll be happy with any of the second rows. Byrne.
So Hendo and Byrne.
Fine.
Okay.
Poor old Hamish.
Hamish, unlucky.
Poor old Simmons.
Simmons, very unlucky. Beard.
Conan.
Very unlucky. Conan, unlucky, because Conan's played well. Okay, back line. So we've got
Price.
Price on the bench. Yeah, well, we've got Murray, we have Murray locked in.
Yeah, Murray locked in, Price on the bench, fine.
Yeah.
Ten. We're coming down on bigger. I'd be more than happy with Farrell.
I think it's a 60-40, and I think... Bigger just about edges it.
So is it Farrell or Daly? Is that the choice in centre? Is it Farrell or Aki, or is it Farrell or Harris?
I like Aki.
I think.
I don't think you beat South Africa with Aki.
No, I think Aki limits you.
We saw that in the Springbok A game. It's like
D'Landy's a little bit too cunning for him. I think.
Don't fight fire with fire.
Yeah, South Africa can handle Aki all day.
Not Farrell for me. Not Aki. Who am I left
with? Henshaw Daly?
Yeah, Henshel Dayton.
Yeah, all right. Let's do that.
Let's go with that then.
With Farrell on the bench.
Which puts Farrell on the bench.
Which, if you've got Farrell on the bench, you may as well have Marcus Smith on the bench, right? You don't want a steady hand coming off the bench. You want Marcus Smith coming off the bench.
So the back three, I go Josh Adams, Anthony Watson and Hogg.
So I definitely, I can go with that as well. Yeah.
And as for the replacement, you've got Farrell on the bench. You've kind of got inside centre covered. So you would go for an outside back now on the bench, which means Liam Williams can get on the bench.
Yes. Yeah, I'm happy with that.
Very nice.
Unless you put Duane, but I think he will go Williams.
Williams covers right across, doesn't he?
He does. Yeah. So and you've got loads of flexibility. Like you've got Daly can play anywhere outside. Henshel can play both centres. Farrell can come on into the centres.
20 minutes left.
You've got three guys who can play full back.
Tight test match. Liam Williams running on, you're like, okay.
Yeah, I mean, you've actually got so much versatility between the starting backs and the reserve backs. You could get away with a 6-2 split, and then you could put someone a bit more explosive, like Conan or Simmons, on the bench.
Oh, 6-2 splits scare me, but you could. You're right.
Why?
With Daly and Farrell, with Daly, Farrell, Watson on in the back line, you can. It just 6-2 splits scare me.
It's the you get an injury early, and then you get another injury, and then you're like, "Well, we're putting a winger, we're putting a scrum half on the wing." Like it all goes to pot.
Second row on the wing.
Now you're talking. Yeah. Well, I mean, if you've got Sam Simmons in there, Simmons could go cover centre or wing.
Well, if we do a 6-2 split, maybe we do need Johnny Hill after all for his kicking game.
Exactly right, mate. Exactly right.
Perfect.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Oh, I love it.
Hey, North Dorset Sevens.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Right, North Dorset Sevens, right? Nothing has stressed me out more. Lots of things stress me out, but this stresses me out. We are getting players, and as we are getting them in, they are dropping. This week, we've had three guys. Well, it sounds like we're going to have another three guys.
It's pingdemic.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Bloody pingdemic.
The RAF.
That is ridiculous. This whole thing is. Let's not get into it.
Yeah.
It's flipping ridiculous.
But Happy Freedom Day tomorrow.
Yeah.
I know.
I can do less. I can do less now than I can last year. But yay, freedom.
Well, exactly. Hang on. I don't know because I've not got the app. But because I don't have the app, it's not pinged. Is that not the sensible thing?
I've never had the app.
All right. Have you got the app? Bet you've got the app.
I'm such
a good rule follower.
I'm self employed. I don't want to have the app.
I, of course, have the app.
Of course you've got the
app. But mostly to go to nice wine bars in West London.
you don't need it. You can just write your name down.
You can.
Yeah.
That's what I do.
Yeah, I write my name down in Costa.
I write my name down, yeah. I'm not.
I was tempted to get a proper flip phone. Anyway, enough of that. North Dorset Sevens. We have had COVID pullouts. We've had a guy with a hernia. Get well soon. We've had a
big second row for... cycle into the back of a parked car and have the bike frame go through his leg and have an operation.
Yep. The RAF flew to our rescue last week and sent us three players. Looks like those three players might have to isolate for COVID now, which is great.
Partying with students.
Man. Yeah, partying with students again.
Terrible.
We've got a guy from the Marines who's going to play, but we can't get his number because someone dropped their phone in the sea. That's what Marines do. We've got so many issues. So we still have places. Please, we need another two sevens players, another two tens players. We need you. And even if we don't need you, right? Even if we fill those gaps, come anyway.
Come and have come a beer anyway. With us.
Have a beer. Oh, well, you'll get a game.
Yeah, you'll get games, and you can. There'll be more time for hydration.
I cannot work out if what we're going to see on Saturday is going to be a brilliant team or the worst team I've ever played. I can't, the life of me.
Well, we might be playing.
I'll tell you what, Wasps Rugby Club have let me down. We had two academy lads playing in our sevens. They've got an academy do on now.
Oh, pathetic.
Wasps Academy sorted. In fact, I nearly text one of the academy managers at Wasps saying, can you release these guys? I thought, no, that's ridiculous. I'm not using it in my favours.
So we've got a team in the sevens who hopefully will get seven players out. And then a team in the tens where we might get seven players out.
We're looking for squad members.
Squad members.
We don't want everyone to play every minute. This is it.
I'll play every minute of every tournament,
including sevens and tens.
That's exactly what I intend to do.
I might
Phil,
play a few.
You're going to get your boots on
a few games of tens, but if I'm playing, I'm not running because I
can't.
We're going
to play you.
I'll pull the strings at ten.
I'll do the running for you, mate.
Okay. Or maybe if I'm not running, I should play front row.
You could be the Serevi just standing in the middle.
We can't scrimmage in tens, but we can't scrimmage in sevens because of COVID or something.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah, ideal. Yes. So, do you know, I'm going to name drop here. I phoned Rob Vickerman the other day.
Yeah, yep.
With a simple question. Mate, how do you play sevens?
I can tell you. I can have told you that.
How do you play sevens?
Well, it's like cat and mouse. You don't run all the time. It's about choosing when to run. Going backwards towards your own line is fine.
Uh-huh.
You're just waiting for the gap to open, and then you go. So that's why you spend most of the time with the ball, walking, and actually probably moving backwards as you pass the ball along, waiting for a mismatch, and then boom, go.
So I can tell you in with three letters, KBA.
Keep all alive.
Absolutely.
So La Rochelle presumably would be very good at this game.
Amazing. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Bottier might be quite a handy sevens player. Victor Vito might be quite handy.
It's counterintuitive, but don't just catch the ball and run straight.
That is counterintuitive.
Yeah.
that's very counterintuitive. So,
unless you're you, obviously, JB, because you can just bust through whoever's
sure.
in front of you.
I mean, they've only got seven players on their team. How are they going to stop me? I don't understand it.
Speaking about that, did you see Taniela Tupu carry? He got hit on the line by three French forwards, one of whom was Demba Bamba. Oof. And they all hit him at the same time, a yard from the line, and he took the hit and then just drove them all back over
the
line and scored.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was amazing. Absolutely amazing.
That is amazing.
The accent of Aussie rugby commentators, I bloody love it. They all talk in this, they all have the same accent where they sound like they're a little bit drunk, a little bit asleep. They sort of don't quite pronounce anything.
Well,
oh, great try, Taniela Tupu.
Have you noticed how they've started pronouncing Korobetti's name?
Yeah.
Marika.
I can't remember.
They say it really weird, don't they?
Yeah, they say
Korobetti or something like that.
Clearly how he says it himself. It's like
Korobetti.
The number of times when we get messages, like working on BT Sport, you get messages from people like Twitter and stuff. Why are you saying Randrandra?
There's no ends
in Randrandra. That's how he says his name.
I'm not going to argue with Semi.
No, absolutely not. I've lost my train of thought. Yeah, sevens. Come to sevens. Play sevens, play tens. Play sevens, play tens. Get in contact. Contact us at Egg Chasers. What are we?
It's North Dorset Rugby Club in Gillingham in Dorset next Saturday, 24th of July, or on Saturday as you listen to this, 24th of July. And you can just come along, play for Egg Chasers.
Mr. Williams, we're trying to get hold of you. We've sent, these are people that have emailed me and got back to me. He's not got back to me. Mr. Williams, you need to get back to me ASAP. ASAP, please.
So anywhere near the North Dorset area, just come along for a game. Come along for a game, even for a couple of hours. Come and watch the test match. They've got a massive screen in at North Dorset.
And we've lost our sevens coach as well.
Oh, no.
Future Jamaican sevens great, Jamal Ford Robinson, was going to come. Do you know why he can't now?
Because Gloucester have told him he's not allowed?
No, because it's John Joyce's engagement party.
Who's?
Joe Joyce, sorry. So we've lost our sevens. What are we going to do with our sevens knowledge?
Can you not rustle up someone else?
I tried Rob Vickerman, but he is in Japan. And that might be overkill.
Yeah. We can afford to fly him back, right?
Yeah, exactly. Actually, yeah.
Incredible Sevens legend.
Yeah, do you know anyone in Sevens Circuit, mate? Have you played with it?
Ben Ryan.
Ben Ryan. Might have been coached by Ben Ryan years ago. I don't know if I've mentioned that before.
So here is Rob's advice for Sevens. I don't know if I should be saying this because, of course, like...
You're giving the information to the competition.
Oh, yeah, the people that are in the Egg Chasers pool will be listening.
Yeah, they will. Of course they will. Passes on the inside, which makes sense. Big carriers on the outside. And clear the ruck if you pass the ball.
Yes, that makes sense.
And I said, right, stop there. Two key messages is more than enough for us. That is it. That's all that we'll do now.
Perfect.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So contact Egg Chasers
at gmail.com. Get JB ball.
Get JB ball, yeah. Just give me the ball. Let me score.
What are some of the Manchester lot? Your mates, like Rat. Rat, so why can't they come down?
Let's not talk about that.
All right, okay, fine. Move on. But anyway, twitter.com/rugbypodcast. You can find all the details there. Contact eggchasers@gmail.com. Yeah. Bob us an email, whether it's about the Sevens or about anything else. But we've got a live podcast on the Sunday morning as well.
So just on why. First of all, the 4.5-hour drive on the late notice. So I want to just fill it up with people that listen to the podcast rather than people that I know. The other thing is, every club in the world has either a pre-season or a club to do. So, wonderful Aylesbury Rugby Club, for instance, has got a club to do one. And a lot of them are sending their own teams. So, like, Bristolians, I wanted to raid them for some players. Nope, can't. They're already there. Like, loads of reasons why. Well, they've got a club to do.
Threaten to withdraw those guys from... I fancy rugby draft league if they don't turn
good.
Out.
Yeah, we have that power. We do have that power. Yeah.
Anyway.
Australia, France, I saw the midweek one. I didn't see the one on the weekend. Anyone watch it?
Yeah.
Was it amazing?
It was
entertaining. The crowd were up for it.
It was an incredible game, and it's actually been a remarkable test series.
It really has. Separated by only a couple of points in total.
So in three games, there's 161 points scored, and it ended up 82 to Australia to 79 to France. So an incredible series overall. And I like... So they did it in 2.5 weeks instead of 3 weeks because they did a Wednesday, Tuesday, Saturday. So not even 1.5 weeks. They managed it in like a 12-day period.
And we know the players
for three tests.
Because on the one hand, everyone will whinge about welfare. And we know that they can play more than one game a week now because you saw it in the Premiership. But they get paid the same amount. And they spend less time away. So I wonder if their welfare argument falls over a little bit when, hey, we'll give you the same money and you're only away from your family for 2 weeks rather than three.
I was about to say, I imagine the French players are desperate to get out of Australia where they're just insane and back to France. But unfortunately, they've gone insane as well.
Yes, it's true. That is absolutely true.
But it kind of forced the team to have at least a little bit of rotation so that you weren't... with the exception of someone like Michael Hooper, who played every single minute of every single game, both teams kind of rotated and players would be like bench, start, reserve because of the attritional nature of it. So I like it because you see in that condensed window, you see a slightly wider squad as well.
Do you know, I looked through the French squad for the last game, did not recognise that many people.
No, it's a second team. It's definitely not their strongest team.
But everyone knows the name Gelonche now, don't they?
Yeah. Hey, this one comes. There are obviously multiple ways to look at this.
Oh, so if anyone hasn't watched it, who was the Corabetti? However, I'm disrespectfully not saying it. Corabetti got a red card for his tackle on the French number 8, Gelonche, who I think it's fair to say he was theatrical in his reaction.
Yes.
There was definitely a delay in between him getting hit and him holding his face and falling over.
Yeah, getting hit sort of in the up in the neck area and then holding the top of his face as he fell to the ground and rolled around.
Mm. If you don't want to do it, my suggestion is don't incentivize it. So the penalties for that type of hit are so harsh, as we found out. If I thought I could get a red card, or if I thought one of my players could get a red card for the opposition and didn't, I'd be pretty angry with them.
You know, for not milking it?
Well, kind of, yeah. You've got to bring it to the ref's attention. It's no different to when Dan Bigger or Owen Farrell is mental at the ref for missing something.
Or when the French captain at the time, Pascal, no. Go with the P. He was the second row. Pape? No.
No, there was a Pascal Pape. Pape.
Was it Pape?
Which
was the incident? What era are we talking about?
I don't think it was for France. It was a club game. Was it for Stade? Or perhaps, but he got a red card and he did an outrageous dive.
Yes. It was, I'm thinking of the guy from Toulouse, it's not him.
He was French captain maybe 7 years ago, six, 7 years ago.
So I'm just looking at Pascal Pape dive. Let's have a look at this.
Maybe it was Pascal Pape.
Yeah, I think it's not going to load properly, this. I don't think. That's definitely a Stade Francais kit, isn't it?
Yeah. It was him then. The video would exist somewhere, but you might remember it, and it was outrageous. It was dreadful.
I do get that point around, like, you're almost incentivized to milk it.
Yeah.
And it's an interesting incident, because from one angle, it looks ridiculous that it's a red card. From the other, you can see there is contact, full force contact, with, as you said before, the neck area. Yeah. It's a tricky one. I thought Michael Hooper dealt with it really well. Did you hear his conversation with the ref?
Oh, mate, why hasn't the number 8 gone off?
Exactly. And he said, look, is there no mitigation? Is he not dropping? The ref's obviously made up his mind, but then he says, well, surely he's gone down holding his head. Surely he has to go for a HIA. So yeah. Jolonge did spend 10 minutes on the sidelines.
So it's all kind of going a bit wrong in rugby at the moment, isn't it? This links to what we said last week about these new laws and the dynamic progressive direction the game wants to go and whatever buzzwords they've come out with. It's very hard to ref the game for the good of the game and also have consistency in applying the laws. Because, as Phil said, from one angle, no, it doesn't look like a red card. From another angle, you can kind of see it.
Yeah.
And the referees that all get progressed through the system, and refs are no different to anyone else, or the refs that carry out the orders of the higher-ups.
Yeah, and there's no doubt
as simple as that.
From one angle, there was some contact with the chin area of Jolonge, but equally, Jolonge was bent at the waist at almost 90 degrees.
Mm. Big man as well.
Yeah. And he's 5 or 6 inches taller than Corabetti, who was also... He could have been lower, but he was bent. He was definitely hinged at the hips. It's a really tough one.
It sort of goes back. Sorry, I didn't mean to talk across you, but it almost is. You can understand it in the framework of the laws, and I don't blame the referees because, like you say, their feet get held to the fire by the referee, coach, or whatever on a Monday morning if he didn't give the red card, because it's all done by flow chart and tick box exercise at the minute. Fine, but it sort of ties into what we were talking about last week where. There are some times where you just go, do you know what? Corabetti tackled in good faith there. Jolonge was ball carrying and dipped a bit. Sometimes accidents happen, and that's okay.
Yeah. It's hard because refs are not assessed on how good the game was to watch. They'll be assessed. So you might have the best game of all time, but you could have a ref who's had a terrible game. Now, in my mind, that's nuts. Because if all the fans have gone home thinking that was one of the greatest games of all time, did the ref do a good job or not? He probably did do a very good job. Yeah. So, there is a bit of art form there. There is a bit of artistry in reffing the game. But on the other hand, we're as guilty as anyone else. We spent hours and hours saying we just want consistency. You can't really have it both ways.
I get that. But to pick up on your point, we talked about how good the Springbok A Lions game was last Wednesday. And we also said, the refs let stuff go, didn't they?
The seatbelt tackle is ridiculous now. I think it has to come back. It has to come back. But once you've got rid of it...
There's no way it is.
Give me the evidence that it's
lumped in with everything else.
Yeah, give me the evidence that the seatbelt tackle is causing concussions, because I don't think it did.
This, Australia lost their star player 5 minutes into the game.
Yeah.
They also lost their other Fijian-born winger, Dagunu, 2 minutes into the game. So they went down to 14 men. Their starting wingers were both off the field in the first 5 minutes.
Delighted with that.
And they came and won. So it's another... it'll just go on my list of games where red cards didn't decide the outcome of the game.
So the red card...
on an increasingly long list of that.
So people are just saying, like, we're going to do this until it's changing behaviours. Well, it's clearly not changing behaviours. So we just park that stupid... dim-witted argument. It's never, ever going to change. We are at Behavioural change, ground zero. There is nothing more to change.
I mean,
this gets put in, and what you will get when you say stuff like that is very much along the sort of COVID. Oh, you just want Granny to die.
Oh, I love concussions. Like, that's what it is.
Are you saying you love concussions?
Love serious head injury. That's what I'm all about.
But I don't think you'll ever eliminate behaviours. If what people are saying is zero headshots or beyond zero or anything stupid like that,
beyond zero, yeah.
Anything stupid like that, you're never going to get there. Yeah. There will always be inherent risk. But I think we have already seen behaviours change. And one really good bit of evidence.
Well, that's my point. It's already there.
Well, yeah. So we are moving in the right direction. And I don't know how much more it can go. But one really good bit of evidence was there was 90, 90 on, it might have been 92, high shots in last year's Six Nations that reduced to below 30 in this year's Six Nations. So big steps have been made. And I don't believe there was a detrimental effect on the quality of the rugby over that period of time. Can it get a little bit better? Perhaps. Can it be eliminated? Absolutely not. And we should not be targeting. Yeah. We should not be targeting beyond zero because that is ludicrous.
I think one of the things as well is teams are getting very comfortable playing with 14 men. Now, if they're very comfortable playing with 14 men, the red card almost becomes a luxury. It becomes, you could use it as potentially an asset. It's kind of the exact opposite to what you thought.
We're playing with more guys than we used to.
Well, actually, we don't need you. No, go and do that.
The Gatland at the weekend, it's like talking to Gregor Townsend, something's not working, what should we do? Tell Faz to skittle someone high.
Yeah.
Get him off.
Boss, I've done it four times in this game already.
They're not calling it, sir.
I've not used my arms once on this tour.
Razzie putting up clips. What do you make of that?
Mind games again.
I mean, so it's quite funny. I thought there is quite a difference in my mind between Gatland answering a question honestly but with a political slant to it in a press conference and actually responding to it. Was like an Irish broadcaster's tweet that the coach of South Africa responds to with a video highlighting.
Was it American Seller?
No, I can't remember. It was an Irish press outlet,
remember Razzie with Esther Hazen doing the little spoof video.
I did like
practicing
that.
How to tackle high. That was funny.
That was funny. And there is a little bit from Razzie where it is a bit tongue in cheek, but it's also serious as well.
He totally means it.
Have you ever seen bad coaching in golf?
No,
it's phenomenal, right? So the Razzie point you made then about that, like the high shots. So what they do, I think, is a European tour hired some marketing guru or social media guru a few years ago, and some of the social media that came out of golf was superb. And one of them was bad coaching. So they'd get a golfer to go and a top golfer. To go and coach just some random fans, but he would deliberately give them the worst advice. And these guys are like swinging whilst looking at the sky, or like with their eyes closed, or backwards, or just
on one leg.
Yeah, like why? They covered the ball in grass. So like, just imagine he was hitting the grass, like just completely ruining the game. And I think that'd be so good for like Premiership Rugby to do, or one of the clubs to do. Send someone down to teach scrummaging, but just teach the like bending over backwards into the scrum machine to warm up your neck, kicking with your eyes closed.
It's kind of what the All Blacks have been doing to the whole world for the last 5 years. Isn't it? No, focus on carrying the kit, sweeping up the changing rooms.
Are we sweeping hard enough, sir? Yeah, exactly right.
It was an immense game. A great series, like you say. Two awesome, beautiful kits. Great series.
Yeah.
Well, so it's real rugby, isn't it? That's what happens with real rugby.
And the ratings in Australia, it was the highest rated TV programme on Saturday night in Australia.
Is that right? Well, yeah. I'd watch France play.
It outrated the NRL.
Do you know? I want France to win.
Or AFL. AFL, yeah. It doubled, I think, the AFL.
I always want France to win. I want France to win everything all the time. But I'm glad that Australia won. I'm really, really happy Australia won. I think the sport probably needed that. And it's competitive, so we all win.
They've got some decent young players coming through as well.
Yeah. They always do, don't they? They always do.
Yeah, the number 10, Noah Lolesio, is quality.
Paisani.
Looks really good, yeah. Paisami. John Pataia, who wasn't playing, hell of a player. Tom Banks, the fullback.
Yeah, really, he's good.
Really nice.
Not until a big French club snaps them all up.
well, the big thing for Australia at the moment is players going to Japan. yeah. like young lads going to Japan in order to qualify to play for Japan.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Cash. Cha-ching. Yeah. Cash, cash, cash.
So I know that some clubs are trying to get players not to play for Japan. So if you're on the cusp of Japan, but say you're Tongan or something like that, yeah. they will encourage you strongly to play for Tonga because it's easy for you to get a work permit when you come over to the UK.
Okay.
So if you want the big money in the UK, well, say big money.
Big money, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
If you want 25% less than it was
Japan
yeah. 2 years ago.
I've got deep pockets. All their clubs are owned by corporations.
Yeah, but they've only got limited spaces for foreign players.
Well,
but
yeah.
Not, but not if they're on a pathway to become a Japanese player.
Yeah. Yeah, if you're potentially qualifying.
Project
but also, Japan have just announced a new league structure with three tiers.
Have they?
Yeah. So
growth in France and Japan.
The growth in Japanese rugby is real.
Multiple professional leagues in rugby union doesn't work, does it?
It's not for me.
Need to ring fence that Japanese league. Quick smart. Yeah. What are they playing at?
Well,
ring fence it to protect the interests of a few wealthy businessmen.
Well,
don't think about the sport and the evolution of the game and the number of competent players.
That in itself, right, is wrong, Tim, because these wealthy individuals have lost millions of pounds propping up the game. They're not looking after their own interests. They're giving us money so we can watch the game.
Oh, well, so let's ignore the future number of the player pool that we could be drawing from and the quality and the growth of the sport around the game. Just because they've lost a few quid. We need to take care of those 13 guys.
100%.
More than we need to take care of the sport
They are literally more important than everyone that you've just mentioned.
No. The game if they went away, the game will still be here.
Yeah, but it wouldn't be the same. It would be the same game.
You'd have 13 other people. That's the one thing.
But then you've got to look after those owners.
You don't need to look after them.
You do need to look after them.
They need to look after their clubs and their own businesses.
When they're profitable, maybe we can do okay. Right.
I'll say it's like an analogy like other things. You never, ever, if you hand powers away, or freedom, or whatever it is, insert the word there, you give it away, you will never get it back.
I'd love to see the club owners go one step further and buy England. Genuinely buy England. So imagine if the club owners actually owned England, how much more England time the England team would get, because that money would be going into club owners' pockets. It'd be so much better.
That's an interesting thought. But yeah. maybe one to explore another day.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Games this weekend.
Are there any?
There's one.
Anything significant?
Pumas won. Pumas beat Wales.
Yeah, they did.
And what was quite a good game, actually.
It was all right. Wales can sort of go, well, we had a load of young guys on, so that's okay. But fair play, Argentina.
Yeah, good result. Very good result. They've had a decent 12 months of Argentina.
The game was all right. I caught most of it, or a bit of it. But I think it's because the Principality Stadium is so good. There's something quite depressing about watching that game.
Yeah, you are right. Any game like that. And also, we loved France-Australia.
Yeah,
because
that's
meaningful rugby, wasn't it?
And it had a full stadium with everyone going bonkers.
I don't really care much for these. Like, I do and I don't. I mean, that Wales seems to be called Wales A, and I'd be happy. Call it Wales A, and we can all go home. It's not Wales. It's not Wales. The Welsh team are down with the Lions somewhere, or somewhere.
Yeah, all the important cogs.
Yeah. All the teams that play now should be called A-teams.
Yeah, although... Yeah.
Give us your cap back, Marcus.
Mm-hmm.
Although, yeah, it should be a cap match for USA, for Canada,
yeah,
and for Argentina, because it's a stacked Argentine
team.
Yeah,
it's a good team. And Wales found that out the hard way.
Absolutely. Games next week.
Okay.
There's just one.
Who's that in?
Well, I say there's just one. The Seven starts, I think it's next Monday, so after
And
after
it starts
weekend.
At 9 a.m.?
Yes.
On Saturday, the first game.
It's Saturday.
Saturday.
No, I'm thinking of the Tokyo Sevens.
No, that's not the
Sevens that matters, mate.
No, North Dorset Sevens.
The North Dorset Sevens is very important. Yeah, the Olympics.
Is the Olympics next weekend?
Yes. Yeah. I think it starts... it starts very soon.
Can we just say that's the biggest... Out of this whole, you know, last 18 months... I'm being flippant when I say this, obviously. Out of the last 18 months, the people I feel most sorry for are...
Have you heard all the anti-sex pads?
Are they real Olympic athletes? The stories you hear about the Olympic Village, like basically every male athlete in the Olympic Village has to get a penicillin shot in their member before they come home. They're at it so much because they've dedicated 4 years, maybe more than that, pure dedication, and then they finish their event and they just
they're all young, fit. Not all of them. They could be a clay pigeon shooter. Right. So what I'd like to do is I'd like to get a board out. I'd like to rank the athletes from most attractive by sports, the least attractive. So who do we think has the most attractive athletes? So it might be like the gymnastics. And then it's like the least attractive athletes. It'll be like the clay pigeon shooters and
swimmers would come up high, wouldn't they?
Swimmers.
Big, thick backs.
Yeah.
Big, really thick backs.
Some of the shot putters might struggle.
Yeah, agreed.
Some of the...
Like the hockey, women's hockey.
What about that dynamic as well? Because you've got like the... Just think of it, 400 metre runner. With the best one in the world, the 400 metre runner does not... earn a lot of money. I don't know what they earn. They may have some good
Sponsors. Like Michael Johnson would have done back in the day.
Yeah, but the average guy from, I don't know. So he's not earning much money. But then the tennis players are in there as well. Djokovic.
I don't think they should be there as well, isn't it?
Yeah, but they are there too.
They are there.
Like, how does that dynamic work with the cash? So then do we have to rearrange our table for career earnings? That really helps out the tennis players quite a lot.
Especially because female and male tennis players are the same.
If it's just pure aesthetics and basically thinking of this like how can you breed the most beautiful children?
The 100-metre guys are the top of the tree, aren't they? Yeah, they are the top of the tree.
Yeah, you're right.
So that's them. And then it sort of cascades down.
But is it... Because the list is not going to be the same men and women, is it?
No, it's not.
It's a fair point.
Because... Well, yeah. for some reasons, I'm not going to go into those reasons.
Maybe we'll have to do it like they do car insurance now, and just average it out between. So we don't distinguish between the sex. We just average it out.
Yeah.
So I still think 100 meters are pretty high up there.
They are. Yes, definitely.
And then we'll have various other discussions.
They're all in the prime of life.
Absolutely.
Highly trained. Been making sacrifices for years, and then they get the chance to let their hair down, and now they don't get the chance to let their hair down.
Yeah, so have you heard about the anti-sex
beds? No, tell me, what's this?
Have you heard about these?
I'm not sure I believe it, but I've seen an image that describes it.
So Phil once told me a story about anti-design. Do you know what that is?
No.
It's things that are designed not to allow people to do stuff. So what's the example he gave me? A bench, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it's called the Camden Bench, which is specifically designed for what you can't do with it. So you can't sleep on it, you can't sit on it for a long period of time, you can't. There's no crevices so you can deal drugs through it, you can't vandalise. It's basically like a misshapen concrete block, but it's only designed for what it can't do rather than what it can do.
Yeah.
It's like an anti-homeless...
Like anti-homeless spikes, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like
that's classic anti-design. So these beds are designed to take the weight off one person and not to be able to deal with any sudden movement.
But then the range of weight of one person, like there'll be gymnastics who are like 40 kilos. Some of the female gymnasts will be...
Well, I guess it'd be like you're in F1 where they're going for the seat fitting. And it's exactly for that racing driver. I guess they'd have to do the bed fitting as they came in.
Yeah.
Like, what do you weigh? I'm 130 kg, shot put thrower. Right, this bed is weighted for 133 kg.
Yeah.
So I guess if you're a shot putter, you'd be renting your bed out to small people.
But also, I don't know if they're going to have like the 24-hour McDonald's and all these different things that are in the village.
They
open all
have
the time,
the McDonald's.
Like, drink, food, have whatever you want. And the people that I can't remember who it was, but I heard a British athlete talking about it, and they'd heard all this stuff about the athletes' village and how wild it was, but their event was on the last day of the Olympics.
Oh no! You want like middle of the first week, and then you've got like a week and a half
like
of partying.
The Sevens have got it, brilliant.
Yeah,
that's awesome. Oh. So how many days is the Sevens over? I presume like sort of five
yeah,
days.
Yeah, well, you'd normally have it over a
weekend.
Yeah, two or three days. So yeah, it probably is.
Interesting. Well, there we go. I think that's a rather unique take on the Olympics. I don't think you'll get that anywhere else.
Yeah, Simone Biles, the incredible American female gymnast, she's 47 kg.
What?
And she's 1 meter 42. How tall is that?
That's very short.
4'8".
Yeah. What?
That is very, very short.
That's incredibly small.
Yeah. Very, very small. And there will be shot putters, weightlifters. Well, Laurel Hubbard will be about 110 kg, won't she?
Let's not get into that one.
But speaking of incredible Americans, who's on their seven side? Is Carlin Isles and Perry Baker still knocking about?
So Carlin Isles tried to qualify for the 100 metres, though I don't think he got near. But I assume he is playing. Perry Baker did get injured at some point, so I don't know if he's been able to.
Speed stick. Another person we interviewed in Monaco.
Indeed. Very sharply dressed man.
Yeah.
What's the name of the American rugby player / NFL player?
Nate Ebner.
So I don't think he was able to play.
And there is Danny, what's his name? Danny Barrett, he's their best player.
But he was playing, he played against England, didn't he?
Yeah.
So he can't be playing if he played against England last week, surely.
Right. He's so good, why wouldn't they have him in?
Maybe they're better than that. They're a good team.
They're a very good team. Yeah. Let's have a look. The 12 starters. So this is the 12 players for the Olympics. Give me. Danny Barrett is in there. Wow.
Maybe they have the same rules in the USA.
Well, I guess he's going from UK to Japan. Yeah. But Perry Baker is in there. Danny Barrett.
Is there a guy called Castle?
Massio Brown, Madison Hughes, Martin Iosefa. Carlin Isles is playing.
Oh.
Matai Luta. Niua. Ben Pinkelman. Joe Schroeder. Stephen Thomason. Kevon Williams. And that's it.
I'd love to see America do well. I mean, I know they win their fair shares of medals in other events, but in rugby, it's quite good. It would be good for the sport if they did well. Who's the GB team? You got the GB?
Don't know.
Squad?
Yeah, that's all.
I have no idea.
I don't know who's knocking around as sevens players now. When I go to sevens events, it's the rugby secondary, isn't it?
I have no idea who plays sevens. I know any of the strategy, any of the coaches. Actually, that's not true. I think Mike Friday coaches, doesn't he?
Is Dan Norton still playing? Or
Dan Norton is in the squad. Yeah. So the men's team.
I know lots of ex-sevens players.
So Dan Bibby, Northwest lad.
Yeah.
Alex Coombs, Alex Davis, Robbie Ferguson.
Alex Davis.
So not Alex Davis of Bath.
Oh, okay.
Formerly Waterloo and London Welsh and other places. No, there is an Alex Davis sevens. Robbie Ferguson, who's Scotland. Harry Glover, Ben Harris, Ollie Lindsay Haig,
mm-hmm.
Ross McCann, Scotland. Max McFarlane, Scotland. Tom Mitchell, who we know, certainly former England captain, Dan Norton and Ethan Waddleton.
Well, best of luck, boys.
Yes.
Go well.
So they got silver medal last time, didn't they?
Yes.
With Fiji.
James Davis and Rodwell was still knocking about.
Oh, yeah. Right, the Fox.
Dan Norton was... No.
Bibby was in it then.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Cubby Boy, sorry.
Cubby Boy.
Not Fox.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, should we wrap this up then?
Yeah.
Let's do it. Yeah, if we're listing the USA and England seven squads, we've got
who's
it expired.
Gonna, just who's going to win the first test?
South Africa.
The Lions have to win this first test or it's game over, so I'm going Lions.
I think at half-time in the South Africa A game, I was 100% certain it was going to be a South Africa whitewash. I've softened a bit on that, so give me the Lions. Just Lions to come back from a 10-point deficit at half-time to win.
I think the series is going to be 2-1, one way or the other. I can't pick which.
Mm, agreed.
But the Lions have to win this first test.
Well, on the eve of the biggest rugby event the world has ever seen, North Dorset Sevens.
Yeah.
Let's enjoy the Lions. So that's where we'll be. You want to join us watching the Lions, North Dorset Sevens. If you want to play tens and you're over 35, please give me a call. Give me an email right now. Stop what you're doing. Give me an email.
Contact eggchasers@gmail.com. He's at jbeardmore on Twitter. Yeah. You can slide into his leave your DMs open.
They're always open. They're always open for Phil.
Nice.
And thank you to the patrons as well, because of course the patrons made the whole thing possible.
Yeah, and when we can, we're going to get round to when the new season starts up, and hopefully there's full crowds in stadiums and pubs close to clubs and stuff. We can get out and do some live shows near you soon enough and get to see all of our lovely Patreons, patreon.com/ Egg Chasers.
Yeah, and the live show is on Sunday. Oh my God, live show on Sunday.
Let the boys play.
Bye bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.